So here we are. We are recording,
and today is, I keep wanting to say the 12th, but I think, yeah, February 11th, 2014, 10:36 a.m. We are at the West Boca, Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office substation, and this is reference case number, ready, Elliot? Case number 14-029489. Repeating, 14-029489. And again, Detective Miller, ID 7704. With me is Sergeant
David Groover, G-R-O-O-V-E-R. ID is 6029.
And Mr. Bernstein, can you state your full name and provide your date of birth for the record, please?
Elliot Ivan Bernstein, September 30th, 1963.
And Mrs. Bernstein?
Candace Bernstein, October 9th, 1972.
Okay, so Elliot, we have drawn up here on the board is Simon's will, Simon's trust, Shirley's will, Shirley's trust, the life insurance policy in Chicago, and then Bernstein Family Realty, which to my understanding is the things that come in play in this entire proceedings or case. So what I wanted to do is go ahead and ask you, when did Robert Spallina and Don Tesher come in play? Do you know when they came in play?
I believe they came in play around 2008 through my brother, Theodore.
He told you this?
Well, we have the belief that they met with Tesher and Spleen and did these plans in 2008. I wasn't there, but there's documents signed, etc.
Okay. And remember, we want to state if things, you know, are firsthand, if they're speculation, if they're a hunch, or if there's reasonable information for you to believe something, okay?
Based on the documents that are alleged.
Okay. And so what are those documents you're referring to?
Well, in 2008, it appears, and these are now questionable because of Don Tesher's resignation letter recently, which throws into question the 2008 documents. But in 2008, it was our impression that they did a Simon will, which is missing. And we've never been given it as beneficiaries in opposite of statutes, probate statutes.
And we, law. When you say we, who are you referring to?
The beneficiaries.
Okay. Only speak for yourself, okay?
Oh,
if you don't mind.
Okay. And me as a beneficiary or my children. At 2008, it was just me and my two sisters. The grandchildren supposedly weren't involved. They did a 2008 Shirley will, which is on file. Now there's two First Amendments, if you've read Don Tesher's resignation letter, that seem to be...
Let's stick with what we know is 2008.
That's 2008.
Now we'll keep moving forward.
With the will.
Okay.
So there's two First Amendments. One First Amendment and a Second Amendment, but according to his resignation letter, he's just recently discovered two First Amendments.
Okay.
One that adds the grandchildren back in 2008, supposedly, allegedly, and one that just excludes Matthew Logan, my brother's stepson. And that just recently was revealed January of 2014 by Tesher. Okay. And then the Simon Bernstein Life Insurance Trust.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking about, or the policy?
Go back to the trust.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, let's go down to...
Okay, go down.
Okay, so we established that it's believed by you that in 2008 these wills came about.
Correct.
Okay, so let's go to the Simon Trust and the Shirley Trust.
Okay, the Simon Trust is missing. Again, it hasn't been given to us according to probate rules and statutes by the estate planners.
Okay.
We're obligated to give it to the beneficiary, me or my children, depending on which version you're taking. And
well, I don't take a version.
I gotcha.
Put everything together and come out with
according
the best that I can.
According to the version they're telling.
Okay.
Okay.
And the 2008 original trust.
The 2008 original trust is missing.
Okay.
And you're supposed to, according to probate rules and statutes, if you give an amended trust, which we have a 2012 done a few weeks before my dad's death.
Okay.
Simon Trust. So there's two Simon Trusts.
So let's hold up on this.
Okay.
So we know for sure that the final, and correct me if I'm wrong, is 2012.
The alleged.
Okay, yeah, we're alleging
Okay.
that That was the final.
Right.
And for this to happen, potentially this had to happen.
And you also needed... Okay, right. And now you can write there next to there, the Simon Will of 2008 is
Well, we
missing.
Know the first.
That's
we're
missing.
Going with the final okay. potential.
Okay. And then, so the Simon Trust, the amended and restated Simon Trust, that should be called in 2012.
Well, we know that. But, yes,
oh, okay.
so 2012 is the final.
No, it's an amended and restated
yeah, there's some changes
trust
that
of the 2008.
Yeah. We're on the same page. So changes were made in 2012.
Right.
Okay.
Allegedly. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Shirley's Trust is a 2008 alleged trust.
You need a drink or anything?
Maybe, but
okay. I can probably...
Okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay. So...
You want to wait?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Nice weather, right?
It's supposed to get cool.
I like this.
Yeah, I like a little change. I like that heat.
I like just now.
Yeah.
I was getting a little worried last week when it was like 80, 90, thinking,
yeah.
No, winter's over. Oh, no. It went by too fast.
A two-day winter, it
yeah.
seemed like.
Yeah, it's been funky weather for everybody. You look at the news channel, or the weather channel, places
all
are just getting pounded.
So now
snow in Atlanta.
What's that?
Can we make that, because those Simon and Shirley of 2008 are mirrored, and then the amended ones are new ones. Can we add two boxes to do it like that? Like if we did it like this?
Well, there's a method to this.
There we go. Okay.
So let's do that.
Right.
We'll put,
the 2008s across
let's
are
put
mirrored.
Update.
Okay.
Yeah, originally.
There you go.
So just to recapture what we briefly discussed here. So 2008, they were. They were similar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mirror except flipped. Right.
And so in 2012.
Well, we don't know that because we don't have the 2008 Will of Sight. It could be
okay.
completely different.
Okay.
So that's her
okay.
belief.
So and then 2012, some updates.
Major.
So.
Major changes to the benefit.
What did Shirley's originally say?
That three beneficiaries,
okay,
Elliot, Lisa, and Jill, that Ted, Pam, and their lineal descendants were wholly excluded.
Elliot, Lisa, and Jill. So that's safe in saying that, correct?
Okay. Yes. It's the best
and,
of knowledge.
And their lineal descendants.
Okay. So you have what, three children?
Yep.
Yes. Lisa has two and Jill has one. And then excluded was Ted and Pam and their lineal descendants.
Okay, so we know that Ted and Pam were considered predeceased.
Correct.
Okay. So this is safe right now, right?
Yep.
Okay. Did this read anything else that you know of?
Well, now, just as of Tesher's letter and 2014, January of 2014.
Okay.
He's now claiming that Shirley's trust was amended.
Okay.
With two First Amendments.
Okay.
One that he was never aware of till 2013 when he sent it to my children's counsel, Christine Yates, over at Tripp Scott.
Okay.
One of them says exclude Matthew Logan. Matthew Logan was written into Shirley's trust as getting $250,000.
Okay.
This amendment, the First Amendment, says, according to Tesher, that Matthew, and we haven't seen this document,
okay.
that, but he says it, it refers to it in his letter and specifically states that
okay.
all it did was remove Matthew Logan.
Okay.
Then Tesher says in the letter that in January 2013, so years later,
mm-hmm.
there's a second First Amendment that he was unaware of. that now says remove Matthew Logan and has all this language to include the grandchildren of Ted and Pam, or the children of Ted and Pam, back into the estates.
Now, he told you this via letter?
Yes.
Do you have that letter?
Yes, sir.
Do you mind if I see that letter?
Absolutely. And you're going to be making copies, right?
And it's
yeah, we'll make copies.
It's a change of her class of beneficiaries. So she defines her class, and she puts in there the lineal descendants are not considered a class. So Cy, on his power of appointment, could not, he could only appoint from her class of beneficiaries.
Now, by the way, I'm going to dump another document on you in a minute that just fell out of the sky the other day. A letter from my sister to my father that will contradict every lie in that letter and make him apparently what's going on is more documented.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay. Yep, we will get to that. Okay. So, from what I'm understanding correctly, I know that... Now, Christine Yates no longer represents you or your children, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. 2013 is when that was delivered. Do you have copies of the documents that Christine Yates was provided by Robert Spolina?
Yes, exactly. I have that one document.
Okay. Well, I want to know exactly what Robert Spolina gave to her when she requested all this stuff.
Can I get my computer?
Yeah, you can get that.
Come on, you want to go get a brown bag?
Oh, yeah.
Because what I remember correctly from the emails, Christine kept requesting the documents, had a problem getting the documents, and then they were finally provided to her in some form.
Yeah, right. Okay. Missing a large swath of them.
But some form. So my goal is to view and obtain exactly what was given to her.
Okay. I've got a whole PDF with exactly the documents that were given to her. I try to keep them separate from the estate documents that we got from the courts, etc., and directly from Spolina.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to make a copy.
Yes, he actually said you have to go litigate to get this stuff, meaning, you know, what should be coming to beneficiaries by law isn't coming even to your lawyer.
Okay. Now, you do understand that that's not something that we enforce. That is civil.
Probate statutes and laws? Okay.
That is civil. We do not get involved in that stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So.
But good for the record to know that it's happening.
Yeah. But just understand that...
Well, right. Meaning there's a swath of things that I'm sure are both...
I know, but I can't go in...
And do civil.
And do civil.
I gotcha.
And, you know.
I gotcha.
I do criminal.
Here, we're going to...
You got a plug around?
Oh, yeah. Right here.
Here.
Oh, I'm reach after.
He's going to strip.
Cool. But that's the point that I tried to kind of make a couple times.
Okay.
Is
I get that.
Those are not things that I can say, you're violating the law, you're going to jail. Those are civil things, and a judge has to enforce all that. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, while we're waiting for that to boot up, I did hear Mrs. Bernstein say something about exercising power appointment. So you did understand that there was a power of appointment put into the trust, right?
Yes, but actually we've argued to the court that the appointment doesn't allow what they're trying to.
That may be. Again, that is civil. Okay. That is civil.
That's what I'm.
But I'm just saying, trying to understand that, you know, she said that it existed. Whether they enforce it, don't enforce it, or whatnot, that's not up to me. It's up to a judge. Okay?
Well, it kind of is up to you. Because if the power of appointment is misused to convert the beneficiaries illegally,
I see what you're saying.
Then we have the obvious criminal.
If I determine that some kind of organized crime or organized scheme to defraud occurred,
okay,
yes, I do understand that.
Okay.
But in basic understanding, that is something that's done civilly.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Right.
So we're going to make another box here. So, for benefit of Simon, okay, because from the way I understand things, correct me if you understand it any differently, is whoever passed the stuff went for the benefit of the other, meaning spouses.
Correct.
Shirley and Simon. Sadly?
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
I mean, Shirley has a trust with assets in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't pass to Simon. Those assets remain in Shirley's trust.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the way you understand it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe that there's some kind of for benefit of Simon statement put in the documents? Is it fair for me
He's
to put that up there?
Trustee of the trust.
Okay.
And there are terms under the trust that give
okay.
him.
And then exercise power of appointment. Now, remember, it's not up for me to decide how money and assets and stuff are distributed. That's not my job. So I just wanted to understand how you understood all this occurred, which may be differently than Jill, maybe differently than Ted. That's fine, but I just need to understand how you understood it occurred. Whether my boxes, maybe the boxes are not flowing correctly.
No, we're doing okay.
All right. So, okay, four minutes. Next, let's go to Simon's trust was changed in 2012. How did that come about? How do you believe that came about?
Well, I think it came about through, you know, them changing a postmortem, using postmortem okay. docs that he never made those changes.
Okay.
That these documents of Simon's 2012 trust are completely frauds.
Okay.
And go along with the forgery and fraud we've already discovered. I gave you those documents. Mm-hmm. I've shown you that these documents have problems in both the execution of them, with Spallina acting in multiple roles
okay.
that he shouldn't be acting in. That they're improperly notarized, which is under investigation still with mm-hmm. the Florida Governor's Office on Baxley, Moran, who's been arrested and convicted of the wrong crime, but nonetheless arrested and convicted,
okay.
certainly had a hand in him as witness with Spallina.
Is that your assumption, or do you have any proof of that?
It's on the documents. Her name is a witness.
Okay.
So she's
but what makes
witness.
You think that they happened after his death?
Well, I believe that Simon never made those changes. That
sure.
right before his death, well, here's, let's go back a step to May of 2013, or 2012.
Okay.
May of 2012, my father called for a meeting to discuss a possible change in beneficiaries.
Okay.
And it was simply a discussion of a possible change. There was no definitive agreements handed out. There was no, you know, documents given that, you know, executed this. He was considering changing it because he was being abused by Ted and Pam. And they had, and this was supposed to, if it went into effect, resolve these abuses. And I'll give you some more documents today that came about where Pam is, you know, highly upset, visibly upset that she's been excluded. Had a lawyer write this complicated, mm-hmm. crazy letter, but nonetheless. So in the May meeting, we're supposed to, me, Lisa, and Jill were asked, would you agree to this plan? And we said basically anything that would, A, get my father from being abused, although Lisa and Jill were in part of it. I mean, at that point, I only thought the abuse of my father was coming because he was dating a woman that they didn't like. That seemed to be the basis of this whole thing. But in the main meeting, the first thing we learn from Spelina is that Ted and Pam are angry not just because of that, but because they've been excluded from the estates.
Okay.
Despite Pam's claims in her letter from her lawyer that her and Ted are independently wealthy and don't need this money, somehow they feel they need to get back in. They're putting all this pressure on my dad. He's going to a psychiatrist over it. I've given you her name, Patricia Fitzmaurice. I don't know if you've interviewed her yet as one of the witnesses in your investigation.
Well, HIPAA covers some of that.
Okay, so. I'm sure she'll deal. She knows, you know, she's...
Can I just interject here for a second?
Yeah.
What type of meeting was this? Was everyone
phone
in a room
call.
Together? Phone call meeting.
Yep.
And the question on the table was, would you agree to it? You didn't give us an answer to that.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
And it wasn't... it was if he decides to change this. These were not... this was not a statement that I'm making this change today, period. And here's the documents if Elliot, Lisa, and Jill agree, and it's all done, and, you know, we got a slam dunk here, and that's the game. This was, I'm considering making changes to end the torture of me.
Okay.
And
what were those changes supposed to be?
That me, Lisa, and Jill would forego our inheritances in both estates.
Okay.
And the 10 grandchildren would get the inheritances.
And what was your response to that?
Again, by the way, skipping Ted and Pam, again. And there are a lot of reasons. Not, you know, he says he doesn't do it out of lack of love in his dispositive documents, but I can give you a whole lot of information. I brought some of that today to show that there were serious other problems with these two. Okay, so yes, of course, I would do anything to help my father. So,
okay.
You know, in my mind, it was his money, and if he wanted to make changes... and I needed to give my consent to get him from being tortured, I was definitely doing it. So I was the first one to raise my hand.
Okay. So then, subsequently, documents were drawn up, and those changes occurred?
No.
That you don't... okay, you didn't see the documents?
What documents?
Okay,
the documents don't come till after he's dead.
Okay, did you see the documents?
After he was dead.
Okay, what were the dates on them? It's like July 25th.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah.
But it's coming to check. Did you pull up that document?
So those changes were taken the way it was understood from a phone call.
Right. Okay, wait. There was one more part there.
Okay.
I said to Spelina, my father, before the meeting, said to me, you're a beneficiary. It's the first time I ever heard of this.
Okay.
Now, my mom's been dead a long time. I'm supposed to be notified by the estate planners that I'm a beneficiary and I have interests. I'm supposed to be shown my interests.
Okay.
I'm supposed to know what I'm giving up right there
in
this main meeting. So when I told my father that, you know, hey, wow, thanks for notifying me, he said, how didn't you know? Didn't you get a package from Robert Spelina? You're supposed to get a package, say, or a beneficiary, etc. I said, no, I had no idea that there was any, that I'm a beneficiary. I had no idea. And so he said, make sure the first question you ask Spelina on that call is where the documents are, why you haven't been notified. So the first thing I said to Spelina is, where are the documents showing me my interest? Because you're asking me to waive my interest in something. How can I waive them if I don't know them?
Okay.
He said, on the way, it's going to be over to you overnight, we're getting everything out to you, yada, yada, yada. I get one piece of paper from them.
Were you being represented by Christine Yates at this time?
No.
Now, this document is the one, the whole Kimberly Moran case, right? Because is it not the same phone call?
Yes, that's the document where the waiver comes to me, like, basically in a day or two.
And this is the same phone call that we had spoken before from our previous interview, which then, in turn, the Kimberly Moran note came from.
So, right. So I get this document in the mail, and just so, because, listen, my dad had a heart condition. Mm-hmm. He was stressed. He was visibly being tortured by these guys. And so, you know, my thing was sign it and, you know, get it in so that he knows that Elliot's on board and not causing a problem. So I sent it in, but I put on the actual physical document. That's why I've asked you several times to go get the original, because on the original, and Candace will tell you, I hand wrote. I am sending this document only in because my father's under duress, but I am waiting for all of the documents to make the statements herein true. Because here I am waiving my rights and interest.
And this is the same one that you signed.
Correct.
Because...
No, that's not the one you said. The one that, that you've got and I've got mm-hmm. has the handwriting part off it. That's why we're very suspicious.
No, this second.
Do you have the original?
Yeah, I have the one that was clerked.
No. Do you have the original my signature?
The one that was clerked, yeah.
No.
Or the one that was sent and then rejected?
No.
Those came from you?
No.
Yes.
No, that document is not my document. That is a copy.
Sir, that is the same one that you told me was your document. It's the same one that you
sent. Oh, that's the only one I've got, but that's not the original hand ink signed document. Unless you're going to produce that for me right here, then you're just kind of looking in the file for the wrong thing. I want my signature with the ink on it.
Then you'll need to go find that, sir.
Well, you should seize that, technically. I mean, it's part of your investigation. You have evidence of forgery and fraudulent notarization.
Elliot, I would like for this to go in a positive way.
I'm just
You've continuously told me how to do my job, and you have not been
I'm
a police officer for 15 years.
You asked me a question.
And the other interview... Please don't talk over me. Okay. It's obvious that you're not happy, but I can't make things your dreams come true. I can't. Okay? I'm not a civil attorney. I'm not representing you in that fashion. I'm looking into a crime. It is.
Okay.
It is. There are caveats of it that may potentially be criminal. But majority of this is civil. People deal with this every day in civil courts.
Forgery and fraud on a court.
Okay. Do you know what the forgery statute says? Do you know how it reads?
Yes.
Okay. How does it read?
It reads, copying somebody's signature with intent.
To what?
To what?
To intent to what?
To intent to commit something, a crime.
Intent to injure or defraud,
yes,
okay?
Right.
That form you signed originally. So the one that she traced, although she forged your signature, the forgery statute could not be used because she did not injure or defraud you.
Okay, we'll see. Because, you see, technically what you've said is wrong. If she had to come back to me that day to re-sign that document,
okay.
I would have not signed it, knowing that Mr. Spallina had not given me the documents to sign that
That's
properly.
Civil.
No. Then she, with intent, forged my name to deprive me and defraud me of my signature, which
That's
would have never
reads.
Gone to the courts. Well, we'll see. We're still, you know, I've taken it now to federal investigators, but we're going to get...
You have a federal case going with this matter right now?
I do. It's all...
Then we need to stop.
Then why do we have two cases going?
We have the case in the federal court that I've...
The Illinois...
That's insurance. Different than what you're stating.
That's
you're
what?
Stating you took it to the feds criminally.
Oh, under the civil court. Federal civil court.
Don't confuse civil with criminal.
You're doing that continuously.
Oh, okay.
It changes everything,
confusing.
Though.
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not...
But I try
to
tell you what it is, and you want to argue with me.
Well, just like, but you're making a statement, you're not an attorney, but you're sitting here trying to tell a detective how to do his job.
All I said is, he asked me if that was my signature on a document. Mm-hmm. I said, let me see the original. He said no. He was going to go show me a copy of a document
that you gave
a copy.
Me.
Right, but I'm
Which
saying,
you told me was your original.
No, I've never told you it was my original, or else it would have my ink on it. I told you that's the document I got from Christine Yates or the courts, period. I'm not telling you it's original. I've asked you several times to get the original from Spallina. He's the one who's got it.
That's not what you did.
Okay. Well, you can see it's a photocopy, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Given to me
so
by you.
Not, okay, but it's not my original.
Well, which was used in this case.
That I got out of the court records and from Christine okay. Yates. So it's not the original that
which
I signed.
Which is the same one that you said.
And by the way, I put in my notes.
All right, Elliot, listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Okay, I don't think this is going good. Can I get counsel or something? I got
sure.
a feeling.
Okay. This concludes the interview.